you again. A lot of years at Women Expo, 24 actually. And it's been great. And I'm thankful today. I really am. I'd like to read something out of Romans 15:29. I'm sorry?
Louder.
Got it. I can do loud. I learned from my sister now. Okay. Romans 15:29. Just a simple verse, but God just, I don't know, he just uses verse to deal with me. A simple thought, but something that just brought joy to my heart. In verse 29, it says, "And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." And I just want to focus on the word, the blessing of the gospel of Christ. This word blessing is frequently used with non-believers and believers alike. And, you know, describing earthly things that do benefit us, like it could be anything from a good car, AC, a good dentist, which is a blessing to me. I have a good one in Mexico. If anybody needs a good dentist cheap, just come on down to Puebla. family, all these things obviously are blessings, but I don't know, God just impacted me with this absolute, unique blessing, the supreme, matchless blessing of his gospel. And so everything else pales in comparison when using that word blessing. God uses, like I said, to deal with me, to consider once again the root and the branches of this blessing. And I want to just share a few things that, as I was just kind of considering it once again and studying it out, and thinking about why is this the absolute blessing to the world. And I think, first of all, it's because of its author. The author of this blessing, and the originator, the source, is Jesus Christ. Perfect, sinless, unchangeable, the just, the justifier.
Amen.
This is one of the main reasons this is the absolute blessing, because of its author. Hebrews 5:9 and 2:10 mentions that he's the author of eternal salvation, the captain of our salvation.
Amen.
Ephesians 1:19 through 20, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. This author of this blessing is the absolute blessing of the gospel, is because of its author. I also saw that the gospel of Christ is the absolute blessing because of its essence, what it is at its core, the definition of it. And the Bible describes the definition all by itself as so many verses, but just mention a few. Galatians and Colossians mentions it's the gospel of truth. Acts 20:24, the gospel of the grace of God. In Corinthians and Timothy, the glorious gospel that has faith-producing light. The light that causes faith in the hearers. Colossians 1:23, it's the gospel of hope. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, it's the gospel of power and assurance. And Romans and Ephesians, it talks about it's the gospel of peace, the glad tidings of good things. And those good things I just mentioned, peace, grace, truth, gloriousness, power, assurance. What else is there? So the essence or the definition of this gospel, this blessed gospel, is the remedy for the sin-sick soul, the light for the blinded soul, and the freedom for the sin-bound soul. So this, again, the word blessing sometimes, maybe because it's overused, doesn't seem to even begin to describe what the gospel is, but it does use it here, and it impacted me. The gospel of Christ is the absolute blessing, because of its potency and its effect. It's all-powerful, it's all-sufficient, it has no need of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. I typed these out so I wouldn't have to be turning to them. 1 Corinthians 3:7 says, "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It has no need of my power, of any power of any man." In itself, this blessing of the gospel is all-powerful. And it produces these life-changing effects, which, again, I know we come every year and we talk about this, but, it is one of the things that keeps me centered, that keeps me there.
Amen.
because God allows us to see this. This is incredible. The powerful effects that it has, and life-changing effects. Conversion, the first thing. Repentance and faith in Christ. Amen. An instant family and fellowship for these people that believe. In Philippians 1, 4 and 5, it talks about that, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. From the very first day, instant fellowship with other believers. This is the effect of this blessing of the gospel. The establishment and the firmness it produces in believers. So many verses, but Romans 16:25 mentions that to him that's of power to establish you according to my gospel. It's the gospel that can cause and produce firmness and establishment in believers. The knowledge of God and the ability for believers to work as his body, as God intended his body to work. In Romans 15:14, it talks about being filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And this, right now in Puebla, we're seeing so much of this, and this is like the phase that it can be trying, but at the same time it can be so joyful to see them take this and admonish one another. And it's all because of the gospel. It has nothing to do with anything else except the gospel is working in them. It also produces readiness and boldness in those who believe it and who stand by it and are firm in it. In Romans 1, 15 and 16, Paul says he's ready to preach the gospel. He's not ashamed of the gospel. These are the effects that I have seen over these years, and I know it's only because of the blessing of the gospel. Boldness in 1 Thessalonians 2:2 says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. That boldness only comes because of the gospel, because of the blessing that it brings and the effect it brings. It brings confidence in teaching others. Acts 28:31 says, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. This is an amazing thing, that this is just another effect. It's just a something that is produced from the blessing of the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, with my lisp, there's a lot of Thessalonians, and that's really hard. But 1 Thessalonians 2:8 says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. This to me is one of the most amazing things, that the gospel just molds your will. It can mold your will to care for someone more than yourself. It molds your will to stir up compassion, and like it says here, to for where they become dear to you, the people that you're working with and that you're testifying to. Only God does that. And I've seen this in the believers at Puebla, that they now are just dear one to another. Amen. And that is a fruit that is only from the gospel. Again, we're nothing. It's all the gospel. And it also, another effect, it leads to spiritual parenthood. In 1 Corinthians 4:15, it says, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. And Philippians 2:22, but ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. I'm thankful for that again. I'm thankful that I've been able to experience that, but I'm also thankful that I'm getting to see that in the believers there, that they themselves are bringing people to the meetings. Amen. They themselves are seeking people out and wanting to disciple them and make sure that they understand the Word of God. And so not only is the gospel of Christ an absolute blessing because of its author and its essence, but I think also because and its potency. Thank you. Its potency and effect. That should do it. Just one. But also the last thing, its opportunity and responsibility. This blessing of the gospel opens up opportunity and responsibility to those that once they do believe. And it's a privileged opportunity. Yes. In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, it says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. This was something that was allowed, a privilege, that God would let us have any part in this is truly amazing. And it's an entrusted responsibility. In 1 Timothy 1:11, according to the glorious gospel of blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Also in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So this opportunity and responsibility is another reason why that, to me, is the gospel is such a blessing. And so now I just think, well, what do I do with this opportunity and duty? What can I help the women there to encourage them to, like Corey was saying, talk to their family members, having that boldness? What does that all entail? What is needful in the opportunity and the duty with this blessing of the gospel? Well, first of all, the reflection of the gospel. Philippians 1:27, it says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Obviously, people need to not just hear it from our mouth, but see it in our life. That whatever we do, say, desire, all of that needs to become the gospel of Christ. It needs to be we reflect what the gospel has already done in us. The furtherance of the gospel, Philippians 1:12 says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's God's goal. That's part of the opportunity and the duty. The defense of the gospel, Paul said in Philippians 1:17, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. And the confirmation of the gospel. He says in Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So I see these things as a little bit more descriptive way of how this opportunity and responsibility with this blessing of the gospel can be attained. And it's interesting to me that, just amazing, really, that these are things that it says in 1 Peter 1:12 that the angels desire to look into. This salvation, this whole work that we are involved in, that we are allowed to be involved in, entrusted with, that's an amazing thing. So the last verse I'm going to look at is 2 Corinthians 4. If you want to turn there, you can, but I'll read it. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That phrase, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I think a lot of times that's a pitfall for me, is focusing on this earthen vessel. And maybe the earthen vessels around me, be it in my group there that we're able to be a part of in Puebla, other churches in Mexico, whatever it may be, you know, but the focus is not the earthen vessel. The focus is what we have. We have this treasure. This blessing of the gospel is ours to take. It's ours to live out in front of others. And I think maybe that's the key to pressing on in it, in the work, because we do have this treasure. And I've been blessed to see the impact of the blessing of the gospel. And I'm thankful for that. And I thank you all for your love and support for us, and just for being here all the time for us. We appreciate it. Amen.